Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. You're listening to What to Read Next podcast, episode 41. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the show. Today we have another book recommendation show. Today's guest is Sarah from Sarah's Bookshelves blog. I love her blog. It's all about book recommendations, and she goes into a lot of literary fiction recommendations, which I actually love, as I've been diving into this genre a lot. I ended up reading one of her book recommendations from this episode, and I ended up giving it a 4-star read. It was a book that I couldn't put down. I needed to read more. I believe I read it in one sitting, which was amazing, because it was a 300-page book, and it was a literary fiction. So that really doesn't happen for me. So it was a really good book. So now let's get to today's show. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So happy to have you here. So tell us who you are.
Well, I'm just turned 40, and I just moved back to my hometown of Richmond, Virginia, after living in New York for over a decade. I'm a stay-at-home mom with two kids. They are 5 and 7, and they are lots of work. Mm. And when I'm not reading, I'm a very active person. I love to play tennis. I love being outside. I love being on the water. And, of course, my kids keep me extremely active, and reading is the time when I sit down and take a breather.
I love it. And you have a book recommendation blog called Sarah's Bookshelves. So what inspired you to start this blog?
Well, after my son was born, I had decided not to go back to work, and I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. When he was about a year, I was starting to kind of sort of yearn for something for myself, start yearning to use my brain again, because as much as I love my son, making his lunch successfully every day was not keeping my brain satisfied. And something to give me a sense of accomplishment, which I really started missing after I quit my job. And a bunch of my high school friends from home were in a book club back in my hometown, and they would call me every single month asking me for a recommendation for them. And so I put together a big book club recommendations list with basically every single book that I've ever read that I thought would be a good pick for a book club. Okay. And that list became the seed for my blog.
That's awesome. So what were some of those books that were in the recommendation list?
If you remember. Oh, Lord, the original ones. Gosh, now I can't even think about it. I think probably The Interestings by Meg Wolitzer was in there.
Okay.
I would have to look back at the timing, because it was 6 years ago.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
Oh, yeah. And so I take my book club list and I keep adding to it and removing books from it. So with the book club list I have now is basically a version of what it originally was, with additions and subtractions.
I love it. So how many books a year do you read?
This year I'm shooting for 100. Last year I read just over 100.
Okay.
So that's it's been increasing every year since I started the blog.
Yeah, that's a pretty sizable. Do you read a lot of ARFs, or do you read a lot of like new releases, or
mostly ARCs?
Okay.
Mostly new releases. I miss reading backlist, and that's one of the things that's really kind of gone by the wayside since I started blogging. And yeah. I'm trying to work more of them in. I'm sure you run into the same thing, right?
Yeah. I'm like, all the shiny new arcs and all the shiny new books. I'm like, I want to read them all. And then I want to start reading. I find authors that I like, and I'm like, I want to read all of their books. So
it's
trying to make time to do it all.
You find one author and you want to go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But it takes me now a few years to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I think when I started reading before blogging about it, it was amazing because I was just like, I'll just find a rabbit hole and I'll just go down to it. And now I'm like, oh, these new shiny objects are coming out. These new books are coming in. And here's what I can read. Here's what I can talk about. So.
And you see it all on social media and you're like, wait, everyone else is reading this book. I need to be reading it right now.
Yes. Yeah. Right now, The Kiss Quotient is one of those books. That's just
yes.
That everyone's reading it. I'm listening to it because it's on Hoopla. But it's one of those books I'm like, oh, I should pick it up. I should pick that up because I can see it on social media.
Are you liking it?
I'm liking it. It's definitely steamy. It's not what I expected.
Okay.
So I was expecting, I think it reminds me of The Wedding Proposal or The Wedding Date, which came out.
The Wedding Date. I remember that book.
So it just reminds me of the same vein of it. And it comes from the same publisher. So I'm not surprised. You know, it's definitely.
Oh, interesting.
It's definitely
steamy. I did not realize that.
Yeah. So they both are Berkeley books. So, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. I'm halfway through the book. So we'll see. They're kind of like in the.
Well, you'll have to keep me posted.
Yeah, they're still in the getting to know each other phase in the relationship. So or to be like, okay, we're finally.
Let's see what's gonna happen here.
Yeah. So
I toyed with it as my book of the month pick last month, and I ended up going with two other ones. But I definitely researched it and might still pick it up if people really like it.
Yeah. Which books did you pick this month?
This month I picked Calypso by David Sedaris and The Book of Essie by Megan McLean Weir, which I just finished and loved.
How is it? It's on my library queue.
It is a book about really serious themes, but written in a very easy kind of summer beach readie way.
Okay. That's good to know.
It's unique.
Okay.
And it's a great pick if you're into sort of the behind the scenes of reality TV.
Ooh, I love it.
Which I am. Yeah, Bravo is my friend.
Mine too. So that's really good to hear. Yeah, it's on my library queue. So I'm looking forward to reading it this summer.
I recommend it.
Awesome. So what's your favorite genre?
My go-to is readable literary fiction, and I say readable because I'm not into the dense books that may be important or well-known or, extremely literary, but they're kind of a slog to get through. That's not really my thing. Yeah. I like literary fiction that has – you can easily get engrossed in the story. The story propels you forward. The characters, you care what happens to them one way or the other. You know, I don't have to like all my characters, but, I have to be into what's going to happen.
Yeah. I can think of a few books like that. So what are your top three favorite books of all time?
That is the hardest question in the world to answer.
No.
It's like but I have three for you. What?
It's like picking a child. You can pick a child.
It is, right? Or like a favorite restaurant in New York City. Like, well, what neighborhood? What kind of food? Dressy or casual?
Yep.
So these three that I'm going to share are, I can't promise they're my very top three, but they are three of my favorites that kind of represent the different things I like to read.
Okay.
So the first one is The Lords of Discipline by Pat Conroy, and he is my very favorite author. He has since passed away, so unfortunately we will not be getting any more of his work, and this is my favorite of his books. Okay. And he writes about the Deep South, the Charleston area, the Low Country, massive family dysfunction in a beautiful, beautiful way. Book two is a newer one, The Heart's Invisible Furies by John Boyne.
Okay.
Have you heard of that one?
I had another guest talk about it. So I was like, I was thinking of putting it in my queue. So tell me about it.
Yes. Yes, you should. It's my favorite of the last couple years. And it was my number one favorite of last year. And it's about a boy who grew up in Ireland and was separated from his mother, and he's homosexual, and I didn't know this, but apparently Ireland was very, very oppressive towards homosexuals for a long time. And it's basically this saga of his story and his life, and it's beautifully written, and it's sad and emotional and hilarious at the same time. He's got these adoptive parents that are wealthy and treat him basically like a piece of furniture, and he just makes fun of them the entire time, and it's randomly hilarious. It kind of touches all the emotions, which I liked.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah, I'm definitely going to pick it up.
And it's long, but I didn't feel its length.
Okay, that's good to hear.
And my last book is nonfiction. Okay. It's one of those books that I call She Just Gets Life book, like perfect life advice kind of thing, a woman who really gets other women. And it's Tiny Beautiful Things by Cheryl Strayed.
Oh, yes. That book is amazing.
So good, right?
So good. You know, it's nonfiction, but it feels like fiction too. Just there's like
it does.
Raw emotion about it. And each story is like it just touches you. So
absolutely. And that's the book that I feel like I've given to more people than any other.
Yeah, that's a great book to give. So who are your go-to authors, and which authors are you awed by?
So again, just like my favorite books, this list changes over time. But right now it is Meg Wolitzer.
Okay.
And I'll save that for a minute. Anne Patchett.
Okay.
She wrote, her most recent book was Commonwealth, and that was 2 years ago, maybe. Megan Abbott.
Okay.
Who writes high school dementedness better than anyone I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And she's got a new one coming out in July, so I'm really excited to read that one.
That's really exciting.
And Anna Quinlan.
Okay.
Who's another one of my women who get women.
Yep.
Authors. And to add to that list is Kelly Corrigan is another one.
Yep.
And she writes nonfiction. She writes essays.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Hilarious, heart-touching, really just like nails down sort of real talk about motherhood and marriage and all that kind of stuff, grief and loss. And then I probably should have some men on here. Oh, I have two men. Hooray. I realized I had all women up until this point. John Irving.
Okay.
And Michael Lewis, John Irving, you know, old school John Irving. And then Michael Lewis he writes nonfiction about business and finance, but in a way that your average Joe can completely understand it. And
Ooh.
Also, he's really funny about it.
That's
I didn't love his latest book, but.
Okay. That's really good to hear. Yeah, I like sometimes I like to read some business books, just kind of like just get to know what's going on in the business. So I'll definitely check him out.
And he makes business read like a thriller, kind of.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's good for me.
Yeah.
Then I have a couple authors who have published a debut novel that blew me away. Mm-hmm. And I want to give them a shout out because, you know, debut novelists need all their hype. And if their second novel lives up to them, they will be auto-buy for me.
Okay.
And we've got Young Yoon, who wrote Shelter a couple years ago. And then M.O. Walsh, who wrote My Sunshine Away. And Britt Bennett, who wrote The Mothers.
Definitely going to check those out. That's really good to hear about debut novels.
Yeah, I love debuts. I love finding really wonderful debuts. And I feel like for the past couple years, at least one book in my top five for the year has been a debut.
That's really good to hear. And you post your top five in your blog, right?
Every year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd actually post a top 10, but then within that, I'll try to pick like the number one or the top three or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. I'll definitely link it in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Favorite books that you've read in 2018 so far?
The Female Persuasion by Meg Wolitzer.
Okay.
And that's been making the social media rounds lately. Have you read it?
I have not read it. I heard mixed reviews about it, though. So I'm curious.
Yeah, I can see that. So I just love her writing. So okay. Pretty much anything she writes, I will probably love. Okay. But this one is, it was sort of sold by the publisher as like the feminist book of the decade kind of thing.
Okay.
But that wasn't how it came across to me. To me, it was just a really beautifully written, character-driven novel that I cared about these people. I kept turning the pages. I had to find out what would happen to them. And the feminism is in there, but it's worked in a really organic way as just a part of these characters' lives. It's not like a beat you over the head with it kind of issue book.
Okay, that's really good to hear. Because I read My Favorite Sister by Jessica Knoll. And,
ooh, I just read that.
Yeah, and that was like feminism. It was good.
Oh, yeah.
Reality TV show, but it was definitely very like there was an agenda there. So.
Oh yeah, and I think I wrote that down when I was reading it. Like, definitely beat you over the head with the agenda, but I did like it. I loved all the reality TV behind.
Yeah, I love
reality TV.
Yeah, it was great. It reminded me of the old school Housewives in New York. I was like, this happened in the Housewives.
Yes. So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was based on.
Yeah, I think so too. So,
it had to be.
Really had to. I was like, this happened. This was storyline was just like in the Housewives. I remember the storyline because I remember watching.
Oh, absolutely.
So, what's your most anticipated release for 2018?
Well, it was because it just came out. Okay. Us Against You by Frederick Bachmann.
Yep. How's Birdtown? No, I've been wanting to refer to Bachmann because he's been up in the BookTube and Bookstagram.
Uh-huh.
So how's Birdtown and Us Against You? Did you read both of them?
I did, and definitely read Birdtown before you read Us Against You. I adored Birdtown because I love sports.
Okay.
But it was sort of, it's about sports, but not really. It's really about life and marriage and friendship and power. And it was one of my favorite books of last year. It's like okay. Friday Night Lights, the TV show. It's about football, but not really.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Ooh, okay. I'm definitely going to pick it up.
That you don't have to like ice hockey to like the book.
Oh, I like hockey. So this is
I love sports, but I don't really care about hockey, but I loved it. It's more about the people and the town, and Us Against You was more of the same. It was a little bit darker, a little bit more sinister,
okay.
A little bit more political. But I didn't love it as much as Birdtown, but like a half star less.
Okay. That's good to hear. So
it came out earlier this month.
Yeah, it did. It came out like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what's the most disappointed read?
I've gone contrarian on like a bunch of big books, but I guess this year probably the most disappointed I've been was Circe by Madeline Miller.
Okay.
It's like a Greek mythology book.
Yeah.
It's supposedly a modern take on Circe's story, and she is a minor character in Greek mythology.
Okay.
And so many people that I normally really trust and have the same taste as loved this book. And so even though I'm not really into Greek mythology, I gave it a shot and thought I might like it. And oh my God, I felt like I was back in high school trying to slog through these myths. And I was like, oh, I just can't. There's too many characters. There's too many tangents. The language is too flowery. I'm sorry to say that I finished it just to write a review. Normally, I will DNF very quickly, but I finished that one because I'm like, everyone's raving about this. There has to be some other opinion in the discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. It was in a book of the month, I think a few months
ago. It was a book of the month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just did not inspire me. I kept seeing it on social media, and I was like, oh, it seems, like, interesting. But it was just one of those things where I was like, I don't think that's going to be my type of book. So
that's what I thought, and I should have listened to myself. But so many people I trusted loved it. So I was like, oh, you know what? I thought the same thing about Station 11. I thought I wouldn't like it, blah, 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 and I loved it. So maybe I'll give it a shot. And this one
Station
didn't
11.
Pan out.
I keep hearing Station 11 a lot.
Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah, that's
It's
one of my
literary dystopia. Dystopia. Do you call it dystopia or dystopia?
dystopia.
Dystopia. Okay. I don't read a ton of that, but it's like a really literary take on dystopia.
Ooh, yeah, so I'm definitely gonna pick that up. I got a ton of books to read after my arc. I went on overdrive on Edelweiss. I don't know how to say it. So I got,
Edelweiss? I don't know
yeah.
either.
Yeah, I got approved to like a ton of arcs, and I'm like, I got a ton of arcs to read. But once I'm done with
Oh
that, I'm
yeah.
going back to mood reading, and then going back to trying to go back to some of the backlist books. So,
Gotcha. It's
yeah,
hard to fit them in, I know.
I know. So, what book should my listeners pick up and add to their TBR?
Okay, so I went off track earlier and I've already mentioned it, but The Book of Essie by
Okay.
Meghan MacLean-Weir.
I
And the
love
reason I say that they should pick it up right now is because it's a perfect summer vacation read.
it.
Yet has substance, and there's lots to talk about with whoever you're vacationing with
I love
about
it.
what goes on in this book.
That's really good. Tell us where we can find you online.
www.sarahsbookshelves.com, and it's Sarah with an H and bookshelves plural. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest at Sarah's Bookshelves. And I'm on Twitter at Sarah's Shelves. I could not get the Twitter handle I wanted.
Oh good. Thank you so much for being in the show.
You are so welcome. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you, Sarah, for being in the show. Be sure to check out her website at sarahsbookshelves.com. For show notes and other information about books mentioned in this podcast, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please send it to the review on iTunes. This is the best way for this podcast to get discovered by new audiences, and you can win a $20 gift card for Amazon. So be sure to just log in, leave a review on iTunes, and just that's it. That's all you have to do. Well, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a fantastic day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.